Well, today, as you know, I'm going to be speaking on Psalm 96, and I'm sorry for not putting on the right psalm. Anyhow, Psalm 96 is one of David's songs. And there's two titles, one in Amplified, and it says, "I call to worship the Lord, the righteous judge." And the second one is in New King James. It says, "A song of praise to God coming in judgment." I prefer the worship instead of song, because worship has a deeper meaning than singing a song. Now, in this case, David used the word song, and he really knew, or sing, he really knew how to worship the Lord. Worship is entering into the presence of the holy God instead of just singing a song. In verse 1 and 2, it states this: "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his name day after day." It's important to note that "sing to the Lord" is repeated 3 times in these 2 Psalms, and that is to emphasize the importance of this statement. This was very common in the Old Testament liturgical call to worship. In present day, worship leaders also repeat the choruses at least 3 times to get people to get focused on the Lord instead of being focused on themselves. So to bring them into the presence of the living God. So, David is talking about a new joy feeling. And we also can have our hearts filled by having the power of the Holy Spirit flow in us. David was absolutely jubilant with joy, and it reminded me of his singing and dancing after the victory over the Philistines. And he was just abandonedly singing, and he was nude. He didn't care about what he looked like. He just totally was abandoned to the Lord in praise and in joy. A song is holy. It is pure. It is pleasant. And it refreshes the soul. In Psalm 136, it also gives you an example of how they use repetition in a psalm. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, his love endures forever." So you can see the importance of giving thanks unto the Lord and remembering that his love does endure forever. In this psalm, there is 26 different uses, or I should say times, his love endures forever. I guess he's trying to get us to know that he loves us forever. And a new song of all the earth. Earth can be translated in 2 ways. Earth can be land, which is talking about the Israelites worshiping in the land of Israel. But excuse me. But the psalmist also uses world, and world is representing the bigger picture of everybody worshiping. Lord, let that be. Amen. A new song is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's creating a new song. It is a heavenly language, like speaking in tongues. In Colossians 16, it says this: let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing
Roger, don't know if you can hear me, but we lost you. If you can hear me, try and reboot. Come back in again. We'll wait for you.
Okay, there you are. You're back. We're singing songs with grace in our hearts unto the Lord. Also, in Ephesians 3, 5, 18b to 19. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking in one to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord. The Lord wants us to worship from the very depth of our heart and to be abandoned to Him and worship Him from the depth of our hearts. And in the verses, it says, proclaim the salvation. And it is ours and Israelites that can rescue us from our earthly enemies, as well as saving us and delivering us from sin, guilt, and condemnation. Whenever God's saving power is displayed, his glory is revealed to us. Spurgeon said this: all conceivable honor is due our creator, preserver, benefactor, and redeemer. However much of the zealous homage we may offer to him, we cannot give him more than he is due. God's greatness in one day will be declared in all nations. And this is considered a psalm of the missionaries, because it's talking about spreading the word across all nations. Now, going back to Psalm 19, and verse 3, it says God, and it says glory. It uses glory, and glory means honor, splendor, riches. It is declaring God's splendor, wealth, and honor. And he uses the word marvelous, which means amazing, excuse me, amazing display, awesome power. So you can see David just worshiping the Lord with all his heart and with all his mind. And that's what we need to do. In verse 4 and 5, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. God is to be reverently feared and worshiped above so-called gods, and that is the amplified version, comprehensive amplified version. In Psalm 15, 4, it states this: who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind? God despises vile people, but he honors those who fear the Lord. Revelations 14:7 says, he said in a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the seas and the springs of water. So you can see that the nations of idols, the Lord detests, and those idols are like power, money, worshiping in the environment, fear, work, leisure, sexual lust, etc. And to verse 6, it says that you see David just dancing with sheer joy. Do we join with him in that exuberant worship? Do you worship his splendor, riches, majesty, and beauty, and awesome wonder and glory in God's holy of holies? In verse 7 and 8, it says this: ascribe to the Lord, all you families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. So you can see that ascribe is a word that is being emphasized again. It's used three times. And it is to come, to give, and to respond. So you can say, come to the Lord, all you families of nations. present yourself to the Lord and give to the Lord, all you families of nations. So that really enriches that particular scripture. So we are to give glory, do his name, or come glorify his name forever. an offering here in the Hebrew as a gift, tribute, present, sacrifice, praise him when pain surrounds us, which is very difficult. I know when I was deep in my depression, it was very hard for me to worship him. And yet God calls us to worship him because he never changes. So I know there are times in our lives that are very difficult, and we need to have trust and faith and praise God during those times, because that really helps us get focused on him and helps us overcome those trials that we face. So tremble before the Lord is a submissive wonder. It means to rise in anguish and in agony, to bring forth, to give birth, to be in labor, to be in deep anguish, to be in distress and shake. So when we stand in the presence of the Lord, we can shake with fear and come to him with our agony and with our suffering and anguish. We come reverently and a deep reverent fear before him. But because he is an almighty God and that he is infinite and eternal, we should come into his presence in shaking and in fear. Then in verse 10, it says this: worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him in all the earth. He reigns, he rules over all nations. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The world is firmly established and securely established and shall not be moved. Judges and rules with equity. And equity means God rules in righteousness, fairness, and integrity. In Revelation 19:6, it says this: okay, I skipped that one. Did I? Yeah, I did. I went to 19:6 and 7a. And give him glory for the, wait a minute, starting in the wrong spot. Okay, then I heard what this sounded like, a great multitude, like the roaring of rushing water and like loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad to give him the glory. And then going back to Psalm 96. We see that we are to rejoice and be glad and give God glory. In 11 and 12, it talks about this. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the seas resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. The heavenlies are to rejoice, and as they rejoice, we are to rejoice. And rejoice is delight and bring joy, happiness, and shining brightly. And I love the description in here that talks about the seas resounding. What I think about is when we went up to our condo, which is right on the beach, and there was a lot of wind several days, and the wind was between 22 and 25 miles. So the sea was just absolutely roaring. It was really rough. And so that's the word I would like to use is the seas are roaring. And when the ocean would hit the sand, it was deafening. And then jubilant means in Hebrew, leaping for joy, rejoice, triumph, even shout with laughter. The trees of the heavens may sing with joy and with shouts of joy. And the fields are rejoicing and shouting with laughter. And it's going to be awfully noisy in heaven with all that singing. So in verse 13, it emphasizes come, for God truly is coming in judgment. He surely is coming. Why are we rejoicing when they're talking about judgment? And let me read 13. It says, let all creatures rejoice before the Lord. He comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in faithfulness. Jesus will judge the world in righteousness and in justice, and he will judge his people with righteousness and truth. In Revelations, Revelation 19:11. These pages are very thin and they're hard to turn, and I didn't. So, excuse me. No, whoopsie daisy, 19:11. I saw the heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he rules and wages war. So we see that he rules in righteousness and he rejoices. The people and David rejoice in the faithfulness of God to judge and destroy the wicked. The wicked rulers and idolaters and occults, false religions, and all that reject Jesus as God will be judged. And if you look at Proverbs 28, and 12. And it states, when the righteous triumph, there is great elation. But when the wicked rise to power, people go into hiding. So when we have a just ruler and the authority is righteous, then the people have great elation. But the wicked are in power, the people hide. In Proverbs 29:2, it says, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. We must have, excuse me. In this psalm, it's filled with jubilant joy and adoration to God. We must have the same joy and adoration and thanksgiving, for Jesus forgives us, and we have resurrection power in us. We really need to meditate on the fact that every one of our sins is wiped away when we confess it. And we may do the same sin, you know, multiple times, and yet Jesus forgives us. And we got to remember, yes, we're human beings, so we are going to sin. But we have a Savior that went to the cross and his blood was shed that we might be forgiven. And then he rose from the dead and he has given us resurrection power. So we need to rest in him and remember the cross and remember his resurrection. Amen.